Oh, well, it's nice to be back in-house again in between time on Moji, holding you down on the Mellow Flight. It's 29 minutes before 11. And, well, if you're talking about women, I should be around. Okay, so that's why I'm still hanging around. And especially because today is a particularly very special day, an international day to end obstetric fistula. Sounds really big, but we have a big fish in house that will break it down for us. So don't go away. It's all about, you may have heard VVF. It's all about VVF. Hang on, stay with us. I have a big fish in the house. You don't ask me who, because I'll soon let it out. My name is Jehobe Iyanya, and we're going to be taking on this celebration, as it were, the marking of a day to end obstetric fistula. Welcome to this beautiful Friday morning, and a special outing with Dr. Faruna Achem. Hello, doctor.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, if you're a woman and you've been in Abuja around about some time now, you would have heard about Ferry Prod.
Yes.
It's one of our lead medical center that takes care of women issues, gynecology issues, and obstetrics. Yes. Those medical terminologies, they surely are.
Yes.
But yes, I'm eternally curious about men and gynecology.
Yeah.
Eternally. Why do men get into gynecology issues like
goodness.
You are?
Yes, goodness. The thing is, it's the interest that you build up in medical school days.
Yes.
Wonder the wisdom and the knowledge and the endocrinology, which is the hormones behind the reproductive system. And as you know, it ranges from childhood gynecology to menopause. Everything in between. And these are things that require, you know, adequate knowledge, prompt understanding of the connections between the various parts of the human body.
Well, usually, I would think it's just that curiosity about being a man. You want to explore a woman's body. Being a woman, you want to explore a man's body and understand it.
I think it's just more than that.
It's
a wealth of information and knowledge.
Very well.
So it is that interest that drove a lot of us into this field.
Very well. Good to know. Dr. Faruna Achem is a president, Society of Gynecologists of Nigeria. And although he's averse to titles, but I dare say he's a chief medical director of Ferry Prod. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, viewers. Yeah. I'm glad to be here on behalf of about 1,000 gynecologists practicing in this country. It saddens us to discuss VVF, something that is out of the books in developing countries. Well, we'll get there someday, hopefully.
Well, according to the WHO, about 2 million young women live with this untreated condition of obstetric fistula in Asia, especially in sub-Saharan Africa.
Yes.
Now, tell us, what exactly is obstetric fistula?
Well, you know, if you look at anatomy of the female system, you have the urinary system in front. Behind the urinary system, you have the reproductive system, which ends with the vagina itself. And then the bowel system, which ends with the back passage at the back. So from front to back. So in the course of reproduction, the baby's head comes in between the bowels and the bladder. And so as the baby's head is coming, it's going to go through the bony canal. And obstetric fistula are situations in which, because of the duration of the pressure of the baby's head on the bones of the pelvis, there is damage to the bladder, which leads to a hole connecting the bladder to the private part. This is what we mean by obstetric fistula. It doesn't happen to the back passage that much because the back passage is further on and the pressure is mainly between the baby's head and the front where the bone is. And so obstetric fistula really has to do with the connection between the bladder cavity and the private cavity, thereby making the woman to be incontinent. That means that she just has no control of her system. So she's sitting at home, she's standing in the kitchen, she's lying in bed, and the urine just voluntarily flows out. She has no reason, she has no capability of controlling the outflow of urine. So you can imagine how messy a situation like that can be, and has this social, psychological, and economic factors, because eventually it leads to her being separated from her home. And very rarely do parents even accept her back. Mostly the parents will accept her back, but
that's like the only one place you couldn't really be thrown off.
Exactly. So there's ostracization, there's loss of economic power, there's loss of households. You don't have a husband, you can't marry, and so on. So it has all the kinds of physical, economic, and psychosocial effect on the women who develop.
I can imagine how a little child of even below 10 can make it very uncomfortable when they home becomes unbearable. I can imagine an adult. Yeah. But who is at risk?
Yes. Well, first of all, over the years, we now know that with available healthcare facilities, with skilled birth attendants in most places, even short women who are supposed to be less than 5 feet, who have smaller pelvis, can get delivered promptly and quickly without injury.
Well, is there anything got to do with height?
It has to do with that. It has to do with majority of the pelvis.
Goodness
so
gracious.
Early, you know, premature. Early
so should
marriages,
we be watching early, out for exactly. How tall your spouse should be? Are we also risk factors?
These are the things. So the people at risk are first-time deliveries, people who deliver in places, and as the figures we gave before, the UNFPA, their executive director, Professor Babatunde Oshodimaye, who is a renowned Nigerian pathologist before he went there, has also spoken about over 200,000 deliveries, 20,000 deliveries occurring annually, and that only about 38% of this deliver in facilities. The rest deliver at home. So people that deliver where there are no facilities are seriously at risk. And this means that our underage married girls who have no facilities around them are mostly at risk. So early marriages is a big problem. Non-availability of school birth attendants or wherever you're going to have your baby is a predisposing factor. And as I said earlier on, these people that have smaller pelvises and have big babies end up with this kind of damage to them. But by and large, really, once we have skilled birth attendants who look after mothers, even in before delivery, and select those ones that are likely to end up with difficult delivery, they can arrange for them to go to places where they can be delivered and this can be done for them. So early marriages, poverty, ignorance, lack of understanding, and this is where girl child education comes into play. The little girls who get to secondary school, there's a delay in beginning to have children for these ones to have to complete their career, complete their education, and therefore they get more mature, pelvis gets much bigger, and they get to know their rights and make sure that they have skilled birth attendants and their deliveries. And this is what has happened in places where there have been 70-90% of skilled birth attendant at deliveries. Obstetric fistula is a foregone. It's something that is gone out of the textbooks. But in our part of the world, where only about 33% or 34% of our deliveries take place in facilities under skilled birth attendants, 64% of our, more than that, occur outside such places. And therefore, we are still having to cope with over 500,000 VVF in our nation annually, which is a big problem.
Just a quick aside before you go to childbirth,
yes,
particularly, is